Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to Fred Accessible Cinema, Fred's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. This is our second episode. The first one was a great success. We received many enthusiastic comments and feedback, and we had listeners from all over the world, so a big thank you to all of you. What's more, you have also shared with us information regarding practices and events related to media accessibility. We will give you voice to all of you, so please keep contacting us through Fred's website, www.fred.fm. And you might have also discovered this program thanks to the Media Accessibility Platform, MAP, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history and the state of the art of research, but also policies and training and practices in the field of media accessibility. So visit MAP's website, mapaccess.org, to find more about media accessibility, but also to listen to Fred Accessible Cinema. Well, in this second episode, we will bring in interviews with the scholars and professionals in media accessibility from different contexts and countries to discuss the importance of working together in order to provide high-quality media accessibility. With Lorenzo Puntoni and Joshua Branson, we will see how accessibility can be integrated in the filmmaking process. Lorenzo directed the short film Aquario, and Joshua worked on the same film as director of accessibility. So, they will offer two different but complementary perspectives on accessible filmmaking, thus demonstrating that media accessibility awareness within the film industry is on the increase. However, there is still more to be done, and this is what we would like to do with this program. Moving from cinema to live events with Luis Fryer, we will discover why it is important to conceive audio description from the start as an integral part of a production. And speaking of audio description, we will then hear from Joel Snyder, who will emphasize the growing importance of producing high-quality audio descriptions. Finally, we will fly to Italy, where Annalisa Sandrelli led two workshops on media accessibility at the 75th Venice International Film Festival. She will also tell us more about respeaking, which has become the preferred method to provide live subtitles on TV and live events, also following the implementation of new laws in many countries. And as for Italy, Elena Di Giovanni will sum up what is going on in the Italian context as for legislation, recommendations and guidelines related to media accessibility.
Fred Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
Let's start then with our first guest. We are going to listen to an excerpt from an interview with Italian director Lorenzo Puntoni. He made his debut as director with the short film Aquario, which tells the story of a child on his first day at the pool who meets by chance a mysterious character. I won't tell you how the film ends in case you're listening to this and not seeing the film yet, but I am telling you that Aquario is the object of a very interesting research on accessible filmmaking. So, let's listen to Lorenzo, and just let me remind you that the whole interview is available on Fred's website. Tell us more about yourself.
Hi, I'm a young Italian director. I came from Tuscany. I was born in Porto Ferraio, in Elba Island, and I grew up in Piombino on the coast of Tuscany. And I am telling about my island because the water is an element very important for me, and is the first element in Aquario, my first short like director. And and also is an element that is very important for other projects that I'm making, and but I work in cinema until 10 years, but I started like assistant director, first AD, and now I'm very happy to to stay here and tell with you about my first short.
Okay, so speaking of your short film Aquario, were you familiar with the notion of media accessibility and accessible filmmaking before the film?
I didn't hear less information about it. Because for me, there were just the subtitles, but I never had experiences about subtitles for
deaf and hard of hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And but with Aquario, I had the possibility to work with Joshua Branson and understand what are all the possibilities of this kind of research.
Mm-hmm.
It's a research.
And as for your short film Aquario, Joshua Branson worked as a director of accessibility on your short film. What does it mean, and how did you manage to somehow integrate this new role into the production chain?
It was a very interesting experience because Joshua make a close dialogue with me. He would understand the idea of Aquario, mm-hmm. the soul of Aquario. Because normally for the accessibility there are a lot of few standard
mm-hmm.
and technique point of view to make accessibility, but with Josh and our dialogue we create a personal, very personal point of view
mm-hmm.
of me. And create we create subtitles or a voice audio
description
voice
mm-hmm.
that had the images mm-hmm. inside it
mm-hmm.
And the point of view of camera
mm-hmm.
So Josh try to have also a close dialogue with other person like a director of photography
mm-hmm.
or a screenplay sceneggiatore.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So, is it important to integrate media accessibility practices into the filmmaking process, in your opinion?
Yes, it is. Because thinking about accessibility is essential in during the preparation and post-production of the film, because without the dialogue with the director of accessibility, Joshua,
mm-hmm.
There will be just a cold and technique
mm-hmm.
process, nothing of artistic, nothing of very very closed at mine,
mm-hmm.
mine point of view about Aquario.
So has your idea of accessibility changed thanks to this experience?
I think that it has changed a lot now. Before I did not know much about it. Now I understand that as a director, he can say mine to every person, blind or deaf,
mm-hmm.
And they can better understand what I want to communicate.
Say. Mm-hmm. To communicate. We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Italian director Lorenzo Puntoni, who explained the notion of accessible filmmaking from the filmmaker's point of view. for his short film Aquario, which was among the finalists in the competition I Love Guy, Giovani Autori Italiani at the 75th Venice International Film Festival. Lorenzo worked with the media accessibility professionals to make the film accessible as part of the post-production process. The person who acted as liaison between Lorenzo, that is the filmmaker, and the media accessibility professionals was Joshua Branson, our next guest. So, stay with us to know more about accessible filmmaking.
Fred. Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed.
Fred Film Radio, sono Paolo De Marchi.
簡単に その先生の作品の紹介を
Fred Film Radio, sono Dana Knight.
Qui m'a fait la tour pour Fred Film Radio en direct du Festival de Cannes.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
This is Accessible Cinema. We are exploring the notion of accessible filmmaking from different perspectives. As Lorenzo Puntoni said, directing Aquario by applying the model of accessible filmmaking required the collaboration between the filmmaker, so Lorenzo himself, and the creative team of the film and media accessibility professionals. And in order to bridge these teams, a so-called director of accessibility was needed. But who is a director of accessibility? To know more about this new role, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Joshua Branson, who worked as director of accessibility in Aquario. Joshua is a PhD student at the Universidad de Vigo and is a member of the Galician Observatory for Media Accessibility. His research is supervised by Pablo Romero Fresco, honorary professor of translation and filmmaking at the University of Roehampton, and focuses on the exploration of accessible filmmaking in practice.
The person who should, let's say, bridge the work of the director and the work of the media accessibility professional is the director of accessibility. Who is a director of accessibility? Could you tell us more about this?
So the director of accessibility is it's a very new role. In some regards, in the context of filmmaking, it has been explored in similar contexts by academics and filmmakers, but it's typically focused on only one aspect of translation and media accessibility. So either we're talking about a director of accessibility that is overseeing the accessibility process, so the audio description for the blind and the subtitling for the deaf and hard of hearing. And certain filmmakers have also worked with what they've termed a producer of language.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as the name suggests, focuses more on the translated
the linguistic
version.
Aspect. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So a director of accessibility is a figure that oversees the entire kind of translation and media accessibility process. And it's someone that bridges these several gaps that exist, so between the filmmaker and the media accessibility professionals and the translators, the production team, the distribution. So it's someone that in an ideal world would come on board during the filmmaking process very early on in pre-production to be able to discuss the accessibility and translation needs of a particular film.
And you worked as a director of accessibility, right, on an Italian short film, Aquario, by the Italian director Lorenzo Puntoni. Could you tell us more about this experience?
Yeah, so that started about a year and a half ago, actually. I met Lorenzo and I was talking to him about accessible filmmaking, which at the time was quite a new concept to me because that's when I was just sort of finishing my MA, my master's in Roehampton, and that's when I was beginning to focus on accessible filmmaking. So I started talking to him about the idea of working in this way for this then forthcoming short film that he was going to be directing. So we began the conversation, and then it started to really take shape kind of during pre-production when he and I would sit down and have discussions looking at the script, looking at the storyboard, beginning to envisage what kind of accessibility or accessible versions he might be interested in, and also the creative potential of the collaborative process and how we could kind of move beyond sort of standard versions which adhered kind of strictly to guidelines and look at more creative solutions and alternatives, one of them being creative or integrated subtitles, which are tailored to meet the individual needs of a film. So that might be using a different font, individually placing the subtitles in different parts of the screen in order to sort of improve the viewing experience, but also to at the same time respect the composition of certain frames and shots.
And the idea of the director. And how did you manage to integrate this new role into the production chain?
Yeah, it's been at times a struggle, I think, because it's you're dealing with an already complex beast in that there are lots of different departments and lots of different people that are working in tandem to produce a film, and so to then come in and try and bring in not only a director of accessibility but also translators and media accessibility professionals, it's quite a delicate process because it requires doing something which goes against the traditional system, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So the way that we've done it practically is I've managed the entire process. So that means I've dealt with the budget, I've dealt with the recruitment of the translators and the media accessibility professionals. And I've also been responsible for coordinating these meetings between the various actors.
So you basically had your own a team of people.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So that is one aspect of the of this figure of the role of the director of accessibility, and that's quite an interesting process in itself, because I think one of the things I've learned from the Aquario project is that obviously communication is key, but it also requires quite a lot of sort of prior communication with media accessibility professionals and translators in order to help them understand and to introduce the concept of accessible filmmaking, because it's quite a different way of working for translators and media accessibility professionals.
Of conceiving the translation process.
Mm-hmm. Aren't necessarily typically used to working in such a collaborative way. Whereas I think the filmmakers, for them, it's second nature. And in my experience with this film and a previous short film, which was an English language short film, both the filmmakers have been very engaged with the process and willing to explore and willing to give up their time to you know, thrash all these ideas out. And because they're quite excited by seeing their film in new ways, and it gives them a deeper understanding of their story. But I think with the media accessibility professionals and translators, it's slightly new to them, so it requires quite a lot of explanation up front about what is required and the way in which it's going to work, practically speaking, the workflows, the potential kind of challenges, I suppose.
And has their idea of accessibility changed thanks to this experience?
That's a good question, and I think for some of them it certainly has. I think mm-hmm. they've really embraced the process, and they've really gained a lot from the experience of being able to sit down and talk to a director when they're sat there translating or writing subtitles or an audio description. And they have certain doubts about, okay, what's the director want to say here? Or how do I prioritize here? Because I can't do everything.
How should I translate this? How should I translate that?
To be able to sit down with the director and say, oh, I
have
to
ask him. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives them greater confidence, I think, in their work. And I think it allows them to explore further solutions, possibilities, mm-hmm. kind of innovations, because they have that kind of backstop and they can sit down and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Whereas typically, that's not the case. You know, it's, I work as a freelance subtitler as well, and it's very rare that I'll have a chance to sit down
to ask the director.
And discuss doubts and queries. And so I think, Some, yeah, but I think the majority of the people that we've worked with have found it a positive process, and I think they'd like to work in a similar fashion in the future. I mean, there are, at times there are challenges and there's a certain reluctance, but I think that's partly due to the, you know, we're kind of creatures of habit, and I think that's partly due to the way in which we're used to working as translators or media accessibility professionals. So I do think there's scope for change there, but it's early days, let's say.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Joshua Branson, who is working on his PhD project under the supervision of Pablo Romero Fresco. In his project, he explores the gap between the people creating audiovisual content, that is the filmmakers, and those making it accessible, translators and media accessibility professionals in general. And he has already put all this into practice in the short film Aquario by working as director of accessibility, that is the person who acts as liaison between the filmmaker and the media accessibility professionals. The principles of accessible filmmaking can be applied also outside the cinema context, and our next guest will tell us more about integrating audio description into the creative process for live events. So don't move, we'll be back soon.
It is estimated that 1 in 6 people have some sort of sensory impairment or disability, which means that 1 in 6 people cannot fully understand your film without subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing, as well as audio descriptions for the blind or visually impaired. SubT Access generates accessible versions of films and makes media content accessible to a sensory impaired audience. SubT Access, access services for the media. SubT Access, your vision for all. Subti.com.
Accessible cinema, we are looking at how accessibility can be integrated into the creative process of media content. And to know more about this, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Dr. Luis Fraya, for many years presenter for BBC Radio 3, audio describer at the National Theatre, and also vocalise and audio description trainer. She is the author, among many other works, of An Introduction to Audio Description Translation Practices Explained, a user-friendly guide which is of outstanding importance to anyone interested in audio description. So let's move from cinema to theatre with Luis Fraya. So we have mentioned the word audio description several times. So what is audio description, and where does audio description fit with accessibility as a whole?
Okay, audio description is a way of making any types of media accessible to people with no vision by use of words. So for me, it fits alongside... Sorry, a bit croaky. It fits alongside other accessibility modes such as subtitling or surtitling to enable people with any kind of sensory disability to engage with the arts fully.
So speaking of changes and also improvements, if you want, accessibility practices can be embedded into the creative process, and the audio describer can even become a character within a given production. And this is what you call integrated audio description. Can you tell us more about this phenomenon?
Yes, I think this is really growing, and this definitely reflects the desire for artistic teams to be involved in making their work accessible. In the old days, an external specialist would be brought in at the end of the creation process to add their signing or add their subtitles or add their description, and the creative team had very little involvement. In film, it's known as accessible filmmaking, and in theatre, we call it integrated description. So directors are thinking of lots of different ways of making sure that everybody can enjoy the show. So that doesn't mean necessarily that you're isolated by a headset, you have to listen to the description, which nobody else can hear. They're making description open. They're making it drive their creative practices. And I think it's a very exciting thing for everybody.
And in your opinion, what is the hallmark of quality in audio description?
for me, the hallmark is that a person listening is not aware that they're listening to this description. It's so much part of the piece.
What you call the presence and immersion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they're concentrating on is the piece itself and their immersion in it, rather than listening to this description thinking that's good or bad, or watching subtitles and thinking they're right or they're not right.
Are there other projects you are currently working on?
Yes, I'm currently working on a big European project called AdLab Pro, which is aiming to define the profile of an audio describer. So it's setting up an online curriculum to help train describers. And it, as part of doing that, it's been working out who describes and how you define quality and all those big issues that we've been covering already.
Mm-hmm. And my last question is, how do you imagine the future in terms of media accessibility?
I imagine it in an optimistic way, that it will become part and parcel of any production. So in film, you might think about booking your designer, your cinematographer, and your director, but you also might think about booking your access director. So they'll be responsible for liaising between the creative team and making sure that all of the access is in place. So when the first night happens, when there's a red carpet and the film opens, everybody can enjoy it, not just people with full ability.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Dr. Luis Fraya to know more about the notion of integrated audio description, which follows the principles of accessible filmmaking so that audio description can be part of the artistic product. So, according to Luis, we are going towards this direction with accessibility as part of any production and with new roles, such as that of the director of accessibility, as we have already seen with Lorenzo Puntoni and Joshua Branson. Louise is also an audio description trainer. She is working, as she said, on a big European project called AdLab Pro, which is aiming to define the profile of an audio describer. And she has also published a comprehensive and practical guide to the theory and practice of audio description entitled An Introduction to Audio Description Translation Practices Explained. All this confirms once more the importance of training and defining quality in accessibility, and this will also be discussed by our next guest, a true pioneer in the audio description field. If you want to know more about this, stay with us. We will be right back.
Fred. This is Natasha Sinjanovic for Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, z vami sam Bor Pluterczyk.
Fred Film Radio, sono Angela Prudenzi.
Essa Fred Film Radio, io chiamo Ariane Morissau do Festival de Berlin.
Angela Cerbi per Fred Film Radio, on est au Festival de Venise.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
Fred Accessible Cinema, we are exploring media accessibility from different angles and in different contexts. It is clear from what we have learned so far, thanks to our guests, that implementing high quality accessibility requires specialized competencies and skills. And this is also what our next guest, Dr. Joel Snyder, stated in an interview by Chiara Nicoletti at ARSAD 2017, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description, which took place in Barcelona. We are going to listen to an excerpt from this interview with Joel Snyder, audio describer, audio description trainer, president of Audio Description Associates, and director of the Audio Description Project of the American Council of the Blind. The whole interview is available on Fred's website, and if you are tempted to explore audio description further, well, you will find much more on ARSAD 2017 on Fred's website.
Yeah, one of the best things about these 2 days is that we talked a lot about the quality, how to improve the quality. And there's something that I think that it's sort of new, I mean, because we're on other sides, we're still struggling to get audio description and accessibility legally, you know.
That's right. You know, I have said for many years, and as an audio description activist, as someone very involved with getting laws passed that enable audio description, all of that, spread it around. And yet, I've oftentimes said, better no description than bad description. Because, you know, we're still in our adolescence. So if you count 1981 or the late 70s as the beginning, we're not grown up just yet, but we're growing. And there's still a lot of folks who approach it in a very offhand, amateurish way. And I think we've established through RSOD and other conferences that there are best practices. There are guidelines. There are standards. It is something that can be learned, and that training is important. I have seen audio description consumers listening to description in a theater, for, say, a play, a performing arts event, for the first time. They've never experienced before. And they hear about this thing. This is going to really bring the play alive. And I've watched them, and I've seen on at least two occasions the blind individual take their earbud out and turn the receiver off because the description was not enhancing, it was distracting. That's bad description. And I say better no description than bad description. We've lost that person. You know, they figure, well, description is, this is what it is. Forget it. I don't want it. I'll rely on somebody whispering to me, or I'll just get along without. No. We have to have standards, and that's why I talked a bit about certification for describers. There are programs in the UK, but I believe that's the only place right now, and we're working towards that in the United States.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview by Chiara Nicoletti with Dr. Joel Snyder at RSAD 2017, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description. Joel is a professional audio describer, but also an audio description trainer. He wrote a manual entitled The Visual Made Verbal, a comprehensive training manual and guide to the history and applications of audio description, offering an overview of the field, including its history, applications to a range of genres, description of training techniques, and much more, thus confirming that the need for knowledge and expertise in high quality audio description, but in accessibility in general, crosses many domains. For instance, what is the relationship between live subtitling and conference interpreters in accessibility? If you want to know more about this, stay with us. We'll be back soon with our next guest, who will tell us more about respeaking.
We translate for those who can't understand. We write for those who can't hear. We describe for those who can't see. SubT, subtitles and accessibility for film, television and theatre. SubT.com.
Accessible cinema, we are talking about media accessibility, inclusion, the status of accessibility in the media industry, and the need to provide high quality media accessibility. Over the past 10 years, respeaking has become the preferred method to provide live subtitles on TV and live events in many countries. But what is respeaking, and how does respeaking fit with media accessibility as a whole? To know more about this, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Annalisa Sandrelli, lecturer in Respeaking, Audiovisual Translation and English Interpreting at Università degli Studi Internazionali in Rome by Federico Spoletti.
What is Respeaking, Annalisa?
Yes,
I'm sure you are the best one to explain that because you teach Respeaking at
Yes, I teach Respeaking, and I am aware that perhaps we need to explain what it is and define it because it's not common knowledge yet. Respeaking is one of the latest additions to the world of media accessibility and audiovisual translation. It is a technique that exploits speech recognition technology to convert spoken language into a written text. Speech recognition technology was first developed to enable people to use the computer or their car without using their hands. So for blind people or for people who had arthritis in their hands and they couldn't type. But then about 15 years ago in England, the BBC first began to pilot this technique to subtitle live programs.
And also, I understand that you'd be presenting a workshop in Berlin as well.
Yes.
And from the 3rd to the 5th of October, there will be Languages and the Media, which is a conference that takes place every 2 years in Berlin about new developments in translation, audiovisual translation. And you are having another workshop. You are Miss Workshops in a way.
Yes. Well, this time of the year, yes. For some reason, I also did another one in June, back in June on dubbing. So it must be a good time for workshops, I guess. Yes. Languages and the Media, of course, is an interesting opportunity because it's a huge conference on the audiovisual sector. And it is much less academic than other conferences. There are also players from the audiovisual sector, companies operating in the field. And so what we will be doing, again, with my colleague Elena Davitti and Pablo Romero Fresco, will be offering a pre-conference workshop on interlingual speaking. We will provide participants with a short theoretical introduction. But the idea of the workshop is that it's going to be a hands-on opportunity for people who never tried it before mm-hmm. and want to see how hard it is and whether they are gifted for it. And perhaps they might become our students in the future, in a future course when we're finally ready to launch one, hopefully. Not this academic year, but the following year, we're okay. hoping to launch a summer
school. Have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Annalisa Sandrelli. She teaches re-speaking in Italy at university level, so she's the best one to tell us more about re-speaking. That is a technique for live subtitling, which is widely used to provide monolingual subtitling for the deaf and hearing impaired in many settings, especially on television, as Annalisa said. The interview with Annalisa was made live from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, where Annalisa led 2 workshops on media accessibility, and she's going to tell us more about them. So stay with us, we'll be back soon.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicolo Comotti here at Venice Days.
Fred Film Radio, sono Chiara Nicoletti.
Angelo Acerbi per Fred Film Radio, on è al Festival di Venice.
Fred Film Radio, z vami sono Bor Kruterzyk.
Fred Film Radio, radio filmowe Fred, z tej strony Anna Tatarska.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
Accessible cinema, we are talking about re-speaking with Annalisa Sandrelli, who has also presented the SMART project that is shaping multilingual resources with re-speaking technology, which has inspired the design and content, as Annalisa said, of the workshop Annalisa led at the Languages and the Media Conference 2018 in Berlin, entitled Interlingual Re-speaking, an Emerging Practice at the Crossroads of Various Disciplines. More on the Languages and the Media Conference in our next episode. But now, let's focus on the 2 workshops on media accessibility Annalisa led at the 75th Venice International Film Festival, Translating Cinema and Accessible Cinema Films for All. Both workshops were organized in partnership with Subtee, so let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Annalisa in conversation with Federico Spalletti and Elena Di Giovanni, Associate Professor of English Translation at the University of Macerata. The whole interview, as well as the podcasts of the 2 workshops, are available on Fred's website.
So, speaking of media accessibility and somehow teaching media accessibility, mm-hmm. you led a workshop
yes.
on accessibility
yes.
Within the framework of the Lux Film Prize. Mm-hmm. So, could you please tell us more about this?
Yes, it was very interesting for me as a teacher because it was the very first time I was dealing with students who were not audiovisual translation students. All of them came from a film background or graphic design background, and so they're here because they have an interest in film, in the cinema. But I have to say that I found them very receptive, very interested in the topic, and they asked lots and lots of questions. So I started out by introducing the concept of accessible filmmaking, because I think I agree with our friend, our colleague, Pablo Romero Fresco, who first came up with the notion of accessible filmmaking, that the responsibility for taking certain choices should not lie with the translator or audiovisual access, a media access expert. It should be a joint decision between the audiovisual translator and the director. So, for example, if you have to decide the type of character or the type of colors of the subtitles, why should you not consult the person who has conceived the picture? A director, I mean, I'm not a director myself, but I presume a lot of directors pay a lot of attention to the color palette of their pictures mm-hmm. and photography. And when you're adding subtitles to the image, you are interfering to an extent with their creation. So if you have the opportunity to consult them when you have to take a key decision, then I think you end up with a better product. The main problem today is that translation and media access are considered as post-production operations. So they take place after the film is edited and finished, it's sold abroad or is sent to the distribution company that then deals with the problem of finding a translator or a media access expert. And generally, you are not in direct contact with the creative team. I think that is a real problem because it means you can't ask the director or film screenwriter what they meant when they used the specific word. And that can be a problem when you have to translate that word into another language or you have to perhaps rephrase that word using a synonym for the deaf audience because you might fear that they might not know that word.
So was the workshop focused on accessible filmmaking or did you...
That was the starting point.
First of all, what was the title of the workshop?
We had two workshops actually.
Two workshops.
One yesterday and one today. But I tried to establish a common thread running through both of them. So I started out by introducing the notion of accessible filmmaking and what it means. And then I introduced the concept of film as a complex polysemiotic text exploiting the sound channel and the visual channel to explain to them that as a translator or media access expert, you might be working with language, but you have to take the rest of the picture into account. It's not just a soundtrack that you have to deal with. You have to take account of the images, of the editing, of the photography, and everything else.
Thank you very much, Annalisa.
Thank you, Annalisa. I agree totally with what you told now, particularly the fact that the people don't realize that in a time when everyone is talking about audience development and building new audiences for cinema, for audiovisual content in general, accessibility involves everyone, and it's a way to develop and to increase audiences, no doubt about that. We've said that many times that now young audiences, for example, have very bad listening habits, mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. has a really bad effect on the
yes.
and we will be hard of hearing, unfortunately. Pretty soon. We have here Elena Di Giovanni. Would you like to add
Hello.
Something, Elena?
Yes, can I just ask myself a question? Because, well, Francesca asked Annalisa a very interesting question, and it was, how do you see the future of media accessibility? And she gave a great reply, and then you came in on this and said, you know, you talked about the platforms and the importance of technology in relation to expansion of media accessibility. I think one thing we might want to do to avoid that, as Annalisa said, accessibility is an afterthought, like the last thought in the production. We should perhaps shift the focus from accessibility to inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I think inclusion is a more positive word, and it's not like saying, I'll make sure that the film is accessible technically for you because you're not up to a certain standard. I'll try and make sure that you can sit next to me and enjoy a film so that entertainment
together.
Is for the whole family group mm-hmm. or for everyone. And then another thing I've been working on and I really believe in, I think it's a romantic word when it comes to accessibility, but it's participation,
mm-hmm.
which means inclusion even in production process, mm-hmm. getting the end users involved in creating access services. And that's, to me, also empowerment, mm-hmm. which means the end users are all together, people with a disability, people that have no disability. They work together. They feel like they're working for one and the same cause. And they will be promoting awareness and more mm-hmm. accessibility, or actually inclusion. So I see the future. I hope that we will see the future of accessibility as inclusion.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Annalisa Sandrelli in conversation with Federico Spoletti and Elena Di Giovanni. Annalisa told us more about the two workshops she led in Venice in partnership with SubT. And with Federico and Elena, she emphasized the importance of going beyond both language boundaries and sensory impairments to reach a wider cinema audience. In fact, media accessibility has become a key issue, and many national and international institutions have been drafting or approving specific legislation, but also recommendations and guidelines. So, to know more about what is going on in Italy, don't miss our next guest. We'll be back soon.
It is estimated that 1 in 6 people have some sort of sensory impairment or disability, which means that 1 in 6 people cannot fully understand your film without subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing, as well as audio descriptions for the blind or visually impaired. SubT Access generates accessible versions of films and makes media content accessible to a sensory impaired audience. SubT Access. Access services for the media. SubT Access. Your vision for all. SubT.com.
Accessible cinema. We are talking about the importance of media accessibility in the worldwide agenda on social and cultural inclusion policies. But what about the Italian context? What's the latest on legislation, recommendations and guidelines related to media accessibility in Italy? To know more about this, let's listen to an excerpt from an interview with Elena Di Giovanni, Associate Professor of English Translation at the University of Macerata.
Elena, are there any news on media accessibility here as for the Italian context? Could you tell us more about this?
Yes, something seems to be stirring, because last year, towards the end of 2017, there was a new law for cinema productions in Italy. The law is supposed to give extra funding for film projects, including access services with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So it's become a law now, and since it's a requirement, there has been a lot of movement from producers towards adding accessibility as a stable service. So that's good already. And there's a lot of talk going on about media accessibility. I mean, there's more now than it used to be in the past. And there's going to be an event at the end of September, on the 28th, in Napoli, in connection with the Napoli Film Festival, and the event is called Talks on Media Accessibility in the Digital Era. I'm going there, and the good thing about this meeting is that it's organized, and it comes from a wish of the industry operators, so it's not an academic conference, and it's not another kind of event.
This is great news.
Yes, so it comes from the industry itself, and I think these are the latest news that I wanted to share.
As a university trainer, Elena, what do you wish to hear from other speakers at this event?
That's a very good question. I wish to hear that we're all in for more cooperation, for a truly cooperative mm-hmm. effort from all sides, from the industry. That's why I'm very happy that the proposal comes from the industry, from people providing accessibility, from the end users, and from politicians, policymakers.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Elena Di Giovanni, who told us more about a new law for cinema productions in Italy, which is supposed to give extra funding for film projects, including access services for people with disabilities. Legislation, recommendations and guidelines related to media accessibility have been also discussed at the Languages and the Media Conference, the International Conference on Audiovisual Language Transfer in the Media, which took place in Berlin from the 3rd to the 5th of October 2018. It is one of the major international conferences in the field of the audiovisual media industry, and this year more than 300 speakers from 40 40 countries discussed the innovations, the trends, and the challenges that are shaping the audiovisual translation field and which are also having an impact on media accessibility, as we have discussed together with our guests in this second episode of Accessible Cinema. More on the Languages and the Media Conference in our next episode.
Fred from Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival.
Io sono Valentina Pompili al Tokyo International Film Festival.
Soy Antonio Becker y estoy aquí con
el internationalen Filmfestspielen in Berlin. Mein Name ist Beatrice Beden.
Alan Begonfi, Fred Film Radio.
Fred, the festival experience in 23 languages.
The Media Accessibility Platform Map was one of the media partners of the conference. So if you want to know more about Languages and the Media 2018, visit MAP's website where you can also listen to Fred Accessible Cinema. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theater performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.